Welcome to Nevada Newsmakers on the broadcast today. Paul Muradkin, he's Vice President of Government Affairs for Las Vegas Metro Chamber of Commerce, for the whole show on an all-new Nevada Newsmakers.
Nevada Newsmakers tapings in Las Vegas are brought to you by the Las Vegas Metro Chamber of Commerce.
From your house to the White House, the folks at D&D Roofing can get it fixed with their eyes closed.
Nearly 200,000 Nevadans work in retail businesses, supporting families and the community. Nevada's retail businesses generated over $2 billion in sales tax revenue in 1 year, including nearly $700 million to help our schools. Shop around and see all that Nevada's retailers offer our state.
We're the Retail Association of Nevada, representing thousands of Nevada businesses.
Businesses that work for Nevada.
Pro Group Management is the place where companies can find workers' comp solutions that are designed to meet their specific business requirements. As regulations evolve, Pro Group takes a proactive approach to clear the path to make sure your business stays ahead of the curve. Knowing your workers' comp program is optimized, you can focus on other important matters related to your growing business. Pro Group Management, workers' comp that works for you.
Safety is the number one priority for the trucking industry. Over $7 billion a year is spent on technology like this electronic eye that will apply the brakes automatically. But the most important factor for safety is the truck driver. These hardworking men and women who safely move over 70% of our nation's freight and 94% of Nevada's. We thank you because trucks move America forward.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
This is Nevada Newsmakers with host Sam Chan, a no-holds-barred political forum. Now, from the Nevada Newsmakers broadcast headquarters, here is Sam Chan.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we're pleased to welcome to the program for the first time Paul Muradkin. He is Vice President of Government Affairs for the Las Vegas Metro Chamber of Commerce, which is very convenient as we happen to be right here at the Las Vegas Metro Chamber of Commerce. You traveled, what, down the hall?
I did. Thanks for having me today. Appreciate it.
Pleasure. So let's start talking about Governor-elect Sisolak. He's named his transition team. Mm-hmm. The most prominent people on the transition team, Barbara Buckley, Dina Titus, Hillary Sheevy, are good choices and make a lot of sense. As usual, they put out a much larger transition team, which is pretty much everybody in Nevada that may have voted for you. But that's fine. That's what you do. What do you think the first things that Governor-elect Sisolak is going to go for? Because as we know, there's only a portion of the budget he can really adjust, maybe 5-10% at most, because Governor Sandoval really sets the agenda for
sure.
The next session.
Well, I think that's a great question. I think for the governor-elect, I think he's made it clear education will be a top priority for him. So I would imagine we'll discuss education policy early on in the session, funding, how that may look like, of course. Obviously, we've had the economic forum indicate that there are some dollars available, but a lot of that will probably be consumed by roll-ups. So I think a lot of the first part of the session will be focused on education policy and what that looks like, how it will be funded, and how that would look like for the state as a whole.
Yeah, Speaker Frierson said essentially the same thing when he was on the program a couple of days ago. It is disconcerting when you know that the increases in the cost of the services you're already providing will eat up most of that money that comes in. Do you sense any appetite for any tax increases this session?
Every session we have the conversation about tax increases, and obviously there was a large tax increase investment in 2015. So I know there's always, I think there's some legislators that want to have the conversation, some that don't. the chamber will be engaged in the conversation, of course, throughout the session. But I think it's still a little too early to tell if there's an appetite or not. We'll have, I think, a little better sense, you know, probably after State of the State in January.
One of the things that Speaker Frierson talked about was judicial reform. Mm-hmm. And one of the issues I raised with him was marijuana, when it was illegal versus now when it's legal, that some of those, potentially some of those sentences should be scrubbed because it's not fair to those people who were popped 20, 30 years ago, and that still sits on their, on their paperwork. Mm-hmm. And, you know, going forward, they're not able to vote. So do you see some kind of action being taken because of that? Because I know there was discussion last session,
sure,
potentially about that.
I mean, that's a good question. That's something the chamber doesn't typically get involved with. We look at, you know, more of that with the marijuana issue, more from the labor side. So we'll look at it from the employment perspective, labor law implementation. But in terms of the judiciary reform, that's something we as an organization, as a business association, don't get too involved with, actually.
Okay, so how would that come down in terms of labor law?
So, you know, for example, there were some bills last session talking about marijuana testing, workers' compensation, employer rights handbook guidelines. That's where we'll get it. That's where we typically get involved with in terms of marijuana policy as a whole.
You're a veteran lobbyist. Are you surprised at how quickly marijuana has been assimilated in this state?
I think, you know, that's a good question. I mean, I think 10 years ago there was a very different attitude in the state, but society evolves, topics evolve. There's more general acceptance for the issue as a whole, and we see that nationally. So, I mean, I guess I'm not too surprised, I guess. I mean, but it is a flip for where the state was 10 years ago when it was on the state ballot. So it's progression, I guess, one way or another.
Yeah, and it's been interesting to watch, for example, law enforcement that I think has dealt very reasonably with marijuana. They haven't gone hog crazy sitting outside dispensaries trying to track people down.
Sure.
They've been developing their own testing methods to see, you know, who might be under the influence and who might not. What about the marijuana lounges? Do you think that, I know Tig Segerbloom was on the program the other day,
sure,
and he just did a trip to San Francisco, and he says there's no cause for alarm.
Well, look, I think, you know, the chamber, you know, obviously understands it's a part of the conversation. It's something that I know, you know, Commissioner Segerbloom is very passionate about. The chamber, of course, you know, we'll look at this issue as a whole, how it's impact the rest of the business community, the licensing process of these lounges could look like. You know, there is some general concern that the chamber has, but, you know, we're willing to be at the table, see how that impacts, especially...
Can I ask you what kind of general concern?
Sure. Obviously, you know, the placement of these lounges, how will they be regulated? You know, the close proximity to gaming properties, you know, churches, schools. You know, really for us, it's, you know, the impact it could have with the overall business community. We're looking closely to see what San Francisco's done. Obviously, Denver has been ahead of the curve of what they've looked at. So we are seeing what impacts, if any, are having in those communities that have started to have these marijuana lounges. So we do have some members who have some concerns, but we also have members who are supportive of it. So we are taking an approach of observing and watching right now, and it's a policy issue that we can become engaged in. That's something we are tracking right now.
And it's interesting because obviously schools would be a no-no.
Sure.
But for churchgoers, especially senior citizens, they may be more in favor of
sure,
leaving church and going to a lounge to relax after church than others.
But instead of getting a donut afterwards and a coffee. Yeah, maybe. I don't know. But I mean, for our folks, it really is, you know, the placement in terms of the close proximity to businesses. Will it require additional social services? Police staffing. I mean, we'll look at it from that kind of perspective as an organization.
And I think, you know, I've been very much in favor of legalizing marijuana ever since this issue came up, working
sure,
with Normal over the years to get the word out. But I've always made the point that if you're going to legalize it and you're going to save all this money on policing, then use a big chunk of that money on education so kids know this is not something mm-hmm, you should be doing and what the pitfalls are. So you've got both sides of this equation. It's not just legalize and Katie bar the door.
No, that makes a lot of sense.
Thank you for that.
Yeah, of course.
Kelvin Atkinson is going to be majority leader mm-hmm, in the Senate. Several people on the program over the last week have described him as moderate in his views. Mm-hmm. Jason Frierson appears to be moderate in his views, certainly at this point in time. How was that through the last session? Did they remain moderate, or was there fire?
No, I think, you know, Senator Atkinson, I think, you know, from the chamber perspective, he's a small business owner. He understands the concerns overall, what business goes through in terms of regulations. you know, opening up a business. So, I mean, he's able to understand when we're talking about, we're at the dais about impacts that could have on a small business. And because he's a small business owner himself now in Clark County. So I think for us, you know, for having the more small business owners you have in the state body, when we're talking about mandates or regulations, they're able to relate to that and they're able to understand the stores or members tell. And I think Senator Atkinson is definitely someone who's always trying to come to a policy solution, is willing to work with folks. So, you know, I think he's going to be good to work with, and we look forward to working with him as the Chamber of Commerce.
All right, let's take a break. More after this.
Tamarack Junction is South Reno's hotspot with over 450 of the latest slots and video games. Sully's Sports Bar, the Dining Car Restaurant, William Hill Sportsbook, and the Tamarack Steakhouse and Lounge. We're just north of the Summit Mall in South Virginia.
Yeah.
How do you shed some light on a better economy? Start with growth inspired by Valley Electric Association. We're a member-owned power company that puts Nevada first, and we're doing big things, like providing prosperity by securing renewable energy projects. For Nevada, that means more jobs and more opportunities, all for a strong statewide economy. In other words, together, we're doing powerful things. Visit us at vea.coop to learn more.
Hi, I'm Eric Robnett, owner of Home Energy Experts. Has this ever happened to you?
Honey, did you remember to turn down the thermostat?
Forgetting to set the temperature? Not fun. We can help. Our new smart thermostat keeps the temperature set for your comfort all by itself.
I'm feeling hot now.
To increase your comfort, go to homeenergyexperts.com for details. That's homeenergyexperts.com.
The signs and symptoms of cataracts can start out small with subtle changes in your vision. So don't wait. Be proactive and take your vision into your own hands. If you're experiencing the onset of cataracts or just have questions, contact your eye care professional or call Eye Care Associates of Nevada today. Dr. Hiss has years of experience specializing in the surgical correction of eye disorders and has completed over 84,000 vision-correcting procedures. At Eye Care Associates of Nevada, we'll change the way you look at the world.
The Tamarack Junction Steakhouse is known for signature steaks, handcrafted cocktails, and world-class wines. Join us Thursdays and Friday nights from 4:30 to 6:30 in the Steakhouse Lounge for live music, gourmet plates, and well-priced wines just north of the Summit Mall on South Virginia.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Paul Muradkin. He's Vice President of Government Affairs for the Las Vegas Metro Chamber of Commerce. So business is booming in Southern Nevada. It's booming in Northern Nevada too, but in particular, it's booming in Southern Nevada. There's got to be at this point well over $20 billion of projects either in progress or on the table, ready to go and funded.
Right.
What are the messages coming to you about what should happen in the next session, if anything?
I think that's a great question. I think, first of all, I think you just touched on the fact that both ends of the state are doing so well benefits the entire state. If Southern Nevada is doing well, the state does well, Northern Nevada does well, the state's doing well. So I think we are a great plateau right now in terms of economic development throughout the state. And I think a lot of that's credit to Governor Sandoval and where he wanted to push the state from the recession to where we are today. And I think we're benefiting from that. You know, I think people really want stability in the state in terms of tax structure, in terms of business regulations. And that's what we hear from our members. They just want to be able to do their business, do it well, and be able to pay good jobs to their employees. And so they are always looking towards the session of stability in terms of tax structure, regulations, ordinances. That's what's important to the average Chamber of Commerce member, really.
On the other hand, the unions are looking to get benefits for their members, and they did extremely well in this session. Minimum wage, do you think that has a prayer in this session?
I definitely think minimum wage will definitely be back. The BDRs will come back. Some of those are veto overrides, so they'll be in the dockets, obviously, in the first few months of session. You know, with the BDRs are coming back, I think that would definitely be part of the legislative conversation for all of us to be engaged on, absolutely.
And it was interesting, Speaker Frierson said, when I asked him about all the bills that got vetoed last session from the Democrats, he said, I'm looking forward, not backward.
I think I agree with the Speaker 100%. I think we have to move Nevada forward, and it's important to look at items for next session to move the state forward, from education to higher education to healthcare. I mean, all that business regulations, we have to move forward.
Are you concerned about what becomes more and more obvious, the north-south split, especially in higher education, where you know, Robert Lang was on the program, and definitely not happy about the amount of money that goes to Southern Nevada versus the population. Is that an issue that the chamber gets involved in?
Sure. Overall, I mean, the chamber's engaged with higher education issues, from governance to equity funding for the, for community colleges to the universities. You know, we really look at it in terms of what is UNLV receiving, Nevada State, CSN, you know, UNR. I mean, we want to make sure each of the institutions are funded well. And if UNLV does well, UNR does well, that benefits the entire state. So for us, you know, we want to ensure each of the institutions are being receiving the adequate funding. Obviously, the state has limited resources, but we want to make sure that, that those students are going to UNLV or UNR are getting the best education possible at the best affordable prices. And so that's something we do engage on, of course.
Okay, but the balance between both ends of a state.
Sure. I mean, any state deals with that issue, right? And so that's something, you know, we look at. But I mean, our goal is to move the entire system forward, support higher education. But at times, though, there are going to be some differences about priority funding. Is it for UNLV or UNR or Great Basin or Nevada State College? I mean, because we do have limited dollars. But, you know, we do try to take a balanced approach of what's right for our region and for the state as a whole.
Speaker Frierson was talking about something that is talked about frequently by Democrats over the years, which is elevating the student monies to the national average.
Sure.
That's still a big jump. Do you think that that's in the cards? Or at this point, is everything in the cards just because you have the Democrats with you know, a supermajority in the Assembly, a majority in the Senate, and the governor?
Sure. I think you just said, I think everything's in the cards for discussion right now. I mean, you have a new governor, so I mean, you have new agency heads, you'll have new division heads, you'll have a new cabinet. I mean, you have some new leadership, of course, with the new Senate Majority Leader. You have a new Minority Leader in the State Senate. I think everything's up for discussion. I mean, Speaker Frierson's coming back, so you have a style and pattern that you know that folks are familiar with, and he's been a great pragmatic approach in the state capitol.
You hear that over and over.
Yeah, absolutely. No, I think he's been a great representative of the body, and I think it's a testament to his leadership. But I think everything's on the table for discussion right now, what education looks like. You know, we've put a large dollars in investments in the last several sessions on categorical spending from Zoom schools to Victory schools. We need to see how those results are working out. So I think all that will really depend on the data we get in the next few months as we get ready for a legislative session.
And it's interesting to see that the speaker is not looking to push things too far to the left. And even Senator Atkinson said the same thing, that this is not the time, and I'm paraphrasing, for us to go crazy. Do you think that that is going to last when you've got a lot of new people coming to those caucuses that are much more liberal potentially than their leaders?
Look, we're all Nevadans. I think most Nevadans want government in the middle. They want to be able to do what they do well in their businesses. You know, but folks also recognize we have to move forward on social issues too. But if you ask the average Nevadan, they want governance from the middle, and I think that's what folks have to do. Republican and Democrat both have to govern from the middle, and I think, you know, you have two leaders who are willing to do that on the Democrat side, and I think you have leaders on the Republican side too that will do that. And Governor Sandoval has set a stage for that for Governor Sisolak to continue. I think they're very similar in terms of their moderate approach, and that's something we will look forward to in the state
right.
legislative session.
Okay, let's take a break. We'll come right back.
Nevada Newsmakers tapings in Las Vegas are brought to you by the Las Vegas Metro Chamber of Commerce.
Dimitri Prine here for Design Outdoor. Are you a homeowner who's interested in remodeling or building a home? At Design Outdoor, we can show you how adding natural or manufactured masonry stone can add beauty and value to your home. And we refer only the best contractors. Our store and backyard are located at 11600 South Virginia, just north of DeMonte Ranch Parkway. Visit designoutdoor.com or call us at 851-9499.
One of the most psychologically damaging things parents can do to children in divorce is disparage one another, which is why I can't believe I even have to make this commercial. Half of your kids' genetics come from this person you're spewing hate about. Your children have the right to love you both, but more than that, they deserve to love themselves.
Marilyn York might be a men's rights divorce attorney, but this is for every selfish parent. Shut up.
Hi, I'm Dave Newman. Remember me? I used to be the house detective, and now I'm a realtor, full-time at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates. And a lot of people ask me, how's the market? You know what? It's fantastic. If you're even kicking around the idea of buying or selling, give me a call. Let's talk about it. Call me at RE/MAX Realty Affiliates and just ask for the guy who used to be the house detective. Dave Newman.
Everyone is talking about opioids, but they're not the only drugs that can be harmful if taken in large quantities or not as prescribed. You also need to be aware of side effects from anxiety drugs, muscle relaxants, sleep aids, and stimulants. Mixing prescription drugs with other drugs or alcohol can be dangerous. If you take Ambien with a glass of wine, it may be enough to stop you from breathing. Prescribed drugs can be just as dangerous as illegal drugs. Take medications only as directed.
This is Nevada Newsmakers.
And back on Nevada Newsmakers, we continue our conversation with Paul Moradkin. He's Vice President of Government Affairs for the Las Vegas Metro Chamber of Commerce. So there is a distinct lack of Republicans at the legislature. What power, if any, do they have in this session?
I mean, when it comes to tax policy, they definitely will have a voice in the state Senate side. I mean, they'll have to learn to work in the minority. And I think some folks coming back have bipartisan relationships, and that's where they'll be engaged in policy. But I mean, they are at a disadvantage. I mean, especially in the state assembly, being below the veto-proof authority level, but they'll still be engaged. I mean, it is a bicameral house with four caucuses. So, and I think the leaders will consult them, of course, with feedback, but they'll be at a disadvantage.
Senator Sedlmeyer is very conservative, but he also seems to be somebody who's willing to walk across the aisle.
Yep. No, he always has been. I mean, he's always been willing to walk across the aisle. He's always been a pragmatic approach. I think he and Senate Majority Atkinson have had a good relationship. They've served on Commerce and Labor together, and I think that's been reflective of their leadership style. They've always had a good working relationship, and I think that bodes well, actually, for the entire body, but also for the state, for that they have a good working relationship, actually.
Okay, so let's open this up to our entire state. There are some that have been on the program over the last week who say that we have now turned blue. Others say blue-ish. Others say, no, we're still purplish. What's your thought?
That's a good question. I'm going to argue we're still purplish, going bluish, but I think the next election cycle, the next two will tell us for sure. The Democrats did very well on Election Day. I think some of the Republican messaging, in retrospect, probably did not resonate well with voters. But if you look at the breakdowns and starting to do the analysis, Dems did well, but they didn't have a surge in overperformance in voting. What I think would happen was you saw independents break with Democrats, and you saw soft Republicans break too in some of the counties. So that's why I say we're still purplish, but I've been wrong before, and so we'll see what happens the next two election cycles, I think.
From what you've seen so far, how has the Hispanic vote played out?
That's a good question. I think they're voting based off of what they believe is important for their personally, and I think they're definitely becoming a larger voting bloc, and I think Democrats have done a very good job courting them on those issues that are important to them. I think Republicans could see some areas of improvement with those type of messaging efforts, but definitely I think Dems have had an advantage in that contingency, without a question.
I thought it was interesting that after the election, Pete Ernotte put out a piece where he said that Senator Heller would have done better if he'd have listened to more women, and I thought that perhaps that advice could have been better served given to Senator Heller before the election, but I'm sure it was.
Sure.
Is that where you see the failure of Senator Heller's campaign?
I think Senator Heller ran a great campaign. I think there were some factors in there that a lot of the Republicans overall couldn't overcome. The Democrats had a phenomenal organization in terms of voter outreach, registration efforts throughout the year, messaging. They have had in Nevada a stronger grassroots campaign for decades, and those are hard things for any campaign to overcome. And voter registration numbers were right at the cusp where it was difficult for a Republican to win statewide, and the tide just went a different direction. But I think Dean Heller and his team did the best job they could, and I think Senator Rosen-elect will do a great job for Nevada and D.C.
Do you see at any point, at least in the next couple of years, the Republicans getting organized to have a base that someday will look like the Democrats' base in Nevada? Or is that just way too much money, way too much time, way too much energy, way too much organization?
I think it's all those. I mean, you have to have the commitment, the resources, the energy, the vision to do so. If they can, that's great. If not, we'll see the continued trend, and we will become a blue state with the next two election cycles.
Mark Amaday is now the dean of Republicans in the state. He's complained about his job in Congress ever since the day he took it, but he has not made a move to change that. Do you see that changing in the next couple of years?
I think Mark's, obviously got reelected, and he's out, like you said, the dean.
Decent amount.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think he'll continue to serve. And I think he'll be there to be that voice that in D.C. for folks.
But were you surprised at the numbers in Washoe County that the Democrat, his opponent, did so well when he really had an awful campaign? I mean, I can say that, you can't, but I can.
Sure.
It was an awful campaign.
No, you have a little more personal experience, obviously, than I do being down south. But I mean, I think it shows you that the demographics of Washoe County and Reno are changing. And obviously with the influx of folks moving in from Northern California and this in the region, I mean, it is changing. Clark County has changed also the last 2-3 decades, and Washoe's changing too, which is not necessarily a bad thing. But the demographics are changing. And voter patterns are changing.
From an infrastructure perspective, Dina Titus, now the dean of the congressional delegation, is on the infrastructure committee.
Mm-hmm.
What if the Metro Chamber had a choice of what projects could be funded first? Do you have a short list?
Absolutely no. I can clearly say that the Chamber's number one infrastructure priority at the federal level is the continued construction and funding of I-11.
I-11, right.
That has been the Chamber's standing priority since 2011, since it was signed into law by President Obama and Congress. So that would be our top priority, with funding of I-11 from the border to Phoenix. Because we've done our first segment from Las Vegas to Hoover Dam. That was that part from Phoenix.
We know how much money that is?
The estimates are in the billions. But there, I mean, we, I think that's anywhere from five to $10 billion, depending on the estimate for the construction. So that 285 miles of freeway.
President Trump has a lot of friends on the Las Vegas Strip. Maybe that could help.
Maybe.
Thank you very much for
my
doing
pleasure,
this.
Sam.
We appreciate it, and we'll see you in Carson City.
Absolutely. See you there on February 4th.
All right. We'll be right back.
A bird's eye captures its surroundings at different heights. At Brian Culpa Photography, we can make your imagination soar over buildings, parks, cityscapes, and beyond. Brian's images tell the story and get the job done. If you need a new perspective to tell your story, contact Brian today. Brian Culpa Photography. Experience the bird's eye view at brianculpaphotography.com.
Hi, my name's Marilyn Miner, and I'm sure you'd agree that Nevada's a very special place to live. I was born here, and my husband and I have raised our family here. I feel it's a privilege to live and work in the Truckee Meadows. I especially enjoy helping my clients reach their real estate goals. Sometimes the smallest details provide the greatest satisfaction. I'd be complimented to talk to you about your next move.
Call Marilyn Miner at Dixon Realty, 742-1280, or log on to marilynminer.com.
St. Ives Florist, for every holiday and every special occasion, for romance, custom home design. We have the largest selection of fresh flowers in Northern Nevada, and we also offer a large selection of unique gift items. Come see me, Lori Ann, at St. Ives Florist, 700 South Wells Avenue, or call me at 333-9190.
Pro Group Management specializes in providing industries with the necessary components to satisfy and exceed workers' comp requirements. Every business has unique needs and specific regulations. Pro Group Management stays ahead of the curve, providing up-to-date services to keep your industry in top form. Discover how we simplify your tasks, improve efficiency, and reduce expense to keep you moving in a positive direction. Pro Group Management. Workers' comp that works for you.
As always, you can watch Nevada Newsmakers 24 hours a day at NevadaNewsmakers.com. You can also download podcasts of the show free of charge or watch us on YouTube. We'll see you on the next broadcast.